Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Pictures of the MV Alta were in the papers again last week after Cork County Council made a decision to put safety measures in place preventing public access to the wreck of the ghost ship that sits off the coast of Ballycotton in East Cork. Now, the ship washed into Ballyandrine Bay when Storm Dennis struck Ireland back in February of 2020. It had been adrift at sea after being abandoned by her crew in October 2018, southwest of Bermuda. The wreck has now become an attraction, causing ongoing issues for locals. So the question is, should that wreckage have been salvaged sooner? Captain Nick Sloan is a salvage master and president of the International Salvage Union, and he joins me now on the line from South Africa. Good morning to you, Nick.
Hey, good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you
for having me.
Not at all. Thank you for joining us, and we'll come back to that extraordinary title that you have in just a moment. Before we talk about the MV Alta, though, tell me how you became a salvage master. What was your route to what you're currently doing?
So I joined the Merchant Navy with the South African national carrier then called SAF Marine. And in 1983, we had a super tanker that caught on fire about 100 miles off the coast of Cape Town. And I just finished the tour of duty and was waiting to go home. And they said they needed more hands to come and help on this tanker fire. So we flew out by helicopter. They lowered us down onto the salvage tugs. And I applied for a transfer. So that was 40 years ago this year. So, I was hooked.
I was looking, there was a long article in The Guardian with all sorts of graphics explaining how salvage works. It looks like very tough, complicated, slow work. Does that accurately describe it?
Yeah, so the initial response falls under the emergency response, and that would be, let's say, the first 24 hours, 48 hours of a casualty where you can really make a difference. Especially if a ship's just grounding or collisions or firefighting. So that initial period is high energy, high adrenaline. And then you need a highly experienced team. They all get on board. They have their different roles. And you attend to those functions to try and come together as a team and make a big difference. So it's basically, they call the salvors in once the ship's crew have lost control of the situation. Normally the ship's crew are always the best to respond because they know the ship backwards and what type of cargo and problems they have. But when they lose control or they've abandoned ship and they call outside assistance, then that's when the salvage teams come in.
So given what you've said now, and we think about the MV Alta, the passage of time has meant that the elements have taken their toll. It'll be very difficult to do anything about that. But is it possible to salvage a ship that has been sitting there for 2 years, as this one has in Ballycotton?
Yeah, so the worst thing about shipping and casualties is that they get worse every day. They never stay the same or get better. So certainly 2020, when she ran aground, that would have been the best time to try and refloat her. But in marine salvage, then the ship owner has the right to appoint salvors. And only once they have failed, or the underwriters have abandoned the ship, then the authorities can actually appoint someone. So that takes a bit of time to actually identify who are the owners, what happened, and where are the underwriters, the liability insurers. And in that case, of course, there weren't any. So the authorities then have to make a decision. And I think you could have refloated her at the time, maybe not the same day or the same weather pattern in that storm. But as soon as the weather moderates, that's the best time to attempt to refloat her. You put compressors on, pumps, generators, and try and regain buoyancy, any means that you can, and then put on as many tugs as you can to try and get her off the coast.
Mm-hmm.
But once she's deteriorated into that condition where she's, in at least two sections now, then it becomes a wreck removal, and then it becomes far more dangerous because the structure's much weaker and far more complex. So you have to bring in jack-up crane barges to try and be able to work alongside her, and it gets more expensive.
And
if there's no underwriter to cover those costs,
Yes.
And the authorities are always hesitant to say, well, let's do it because it's not cheap.
Yes, and they'll be on the hook for paying for it all. But when you hear that something like this, like the MV Alta now, has become a bit of an attraction, how worried are you when you hear that? Because shipwrecks are very dangerous things, aren't they?
Yeah, correct. So on the South African coast and around Africa, it's not uncommon for ships to be abandoned. Normally in Europe, they're far more stringent on making sure that the ship owner has proper liability insurance, and especially in the Americas. So we have this quite often, and if the authorities have to take over, then if there's no quick fix or of trying to refloat her, we normally burn it to try and get rid of any pollutants and reduce it to ash. And then we put shape charges on the structure, and we have a controlled demolition to try and weaken the structure so that the next winter patterns completely break her up. The worst thing about an attraction like that is that kids or people want to get on board, especially adrenaline junkies, whether they want to abseil or swing from any of the cranes or other parts of the bridge wing. And the structure is getting weaker and weaker all the time. And if something collapses and you fall into the cargo hold or the engine room, you can get very seriously hurt, and you might even end up with a fatality or two.
Mm-hmm. And what would happen? I mean, you mentioned there the structure is getting weaker and weaker. Will it eventually fragment?
Yes, definitely. So you'll find on a lot of this is that the corrosion happens inside the cargo holds, and from the outside it might look like it's not too bad, but it's actually just held together by paint. And if you walk on it, a whole section could just collapse and you go with it. So it becomes very dangerous.
You usually work with sunken ships. I mean, a ghost ship is quite unusual, I understand. But one of the most famous cases you worked on, Nick, was the Costa Concordia, the cruise ship. And that, from what I've read, was different for salvage, because usually if you're dealing with ships that are carrying heavy loads, the weight is there and you know how to deal with that. But the Costa Concordia was different because it was light.
Yeah, so the thing with passenger ships, if you compare a passenger ship to, let's say, a warship, passenger ships are extremely large volumes for the passengers, very light construction. So they use these supercomputers and naval architecture improvements to actually maximize the space and volume for the passengers. And that makes it a very weak structure. So all of the strength is in the engine room up to the sort of lifeboat deck. And above the lifeboat deck, there's absolutely no strength that you can rely on. Where if you had a warship, it's very low in the water, very thick steel, armor plated, so you can actually apply far greater forces to it. So when the Costa Concordia happened, we had to really look at the structure and say, okay, there's only, let's say, one-third of what we can see that we can actually rely on. The other two-thirds is completely sacrificial, superstructure. And that makes it far more complex.
On the environmental side, has that become increasingly important now in your work, a focus on making sure that the sea life, that the seabed is not damaged in the work that you're doing in the course of that work?
Yeah, so in salvage, what they call a Lloyd's standard form of salvage agreement, the Lloyd's open form, no cure, no pay, there's a clause in there that you're responsible for minimizing any impact on the environment. And then if you can prevent further damage to the environment, then they'll take that into consideration. And that's been around for over 100 years. But since 2000, they've come in with a new clause called the Scopic Special Compensation Clause, where they'll say, listen, even if there's no chance of success, just stay on board and minimize and get rid of all the pollutants, because the environment is becoming more and more important. And that was, of course, drafted in 1998-99, came into force in 2000. But now, of course, ESG and the environment is going to a different layer and level altogether. So the salvage teams actually have been doing it for a long time, but the best thing, if you ever have an incident, is to get professional salvagers on board as soon as possible to minimize any damage in further damage in, to the environment and the local population.
Now, you mentioned the rules that came in the late 90s, and coincidentally, there was an incident in 1997, wasn't there? This cargo ship that lost a container that had 5 million pieces of Lego, and those pieces of Lego are still turning up on shorelines.
Yeah, the ocean currents are incredibly powerful and quite complex, and it's amazing where pieces of Lego appeared. And off the South African coast, we lost a cruise ship in 92 and then a cargo ship 12 years later in a similar place that had a whole lot of logs. And one of the lifeboats from the cruise ship, the Oceanus, washed up in Australia. And one of the logs washed up within 50 metres of the lifeboat 12 years later. So the ocean currents, and they're incredibly powerful, and they'll take you a long, long way. So when these plastics and, the pollutants get into the marine environment, they just keep on drifting until they run aground.
And your work, I mean, does it take you wherever you get the call from?
Yeah, correctly. So we're on constant standby. In the last 5 years, I've been in Bangladesh, Pakistan, Middle East, Mediterranean, Papua New Guinea, Patagonia, and Africa, and of course the Caribbean and Americas. So it's just, that we have teams around the world, and it's whoever's next on the list and who can get there. It's time to pack your bag and get to the airport.
Well, if you ever are in Ireland, Nick, we'd love to meet you here in the studio. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme from South Africa. That's President of the International Salvage Union. What a fascinating career and a life that Captain Nick Sloan has. Dr. Maura Finn will be with us after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.